had to do this to me right before a show. Oh, hello everyone, and welcome, welcome to the show. I wish I could tell you what we're laughing about, but I can't. I absolutely can't. Welcome, folks. Welcome to the show. Coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm literally crying. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Erica Resnick.
Hi, friends.
Craig Williams.
Ahoy, hoy.
Corey Martin.
I'm just happy to be here.
And our producer this week, Mr. John Sicari.
This may be my last day if this doesn't go well. Wish me luck.
This is his first time producing a live show. So he's very concerned that he's going to get fired if he doesn't do it well, which, of course, he's not.
There's a lot of people and a lot of buttons.
Well, this is part of the learning process, right? You got to learn this stuff. Well, welcome, folks. Hope your week is off to a good start. Just a reminder, if you are a Patreon supporter, please stay tuned after this show for our exclusive Patreon after show just for our wonderful Patreon supporters. If you're interested in joining us on Patreon, we do a lot of extra content that does not show up on our YouTube channels publicly. And we have a lot of fun. We just did something really cool for the first time the other day. We did a live broadcast of our DCL shows, but we did the entire, because we pre-record four shows at a time, but we live streamed the entire session, and folks really seem to enjoy that. So patreon.com/disunplugged is where you can sign up for that. And just a reminder, this show, along with all the content we produce, brought to you by dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, of which I am one of the owners. So if you like our content, it's how I pay these people. Please book your next Disney vacation through Dreams Unlimited Travel. All right. Why do I have this on my script? I don't know. It's going to be one of those days. It's going to be one of those shows. Be one of those shows, and it's Rhino's fault. Stop right now. Stop it right now. All right. What do we want to talk about first? I feel like we're laughing so much. I don't want to segue right into
death.
And I feel like we have to start with Magic Band Plus, since that was the biggest thing to happen last week, and a nice bookend from last week's show where we were asking ourselves lots of questions about how it would be. And we now have official opinions as users of Magic Band Plus. And okay. I've got thoughts, but maybe Erica will spread some positivity first before I come and crap all over Magic Band Plus.
That works. So I bought it the day it came out, and I was happy to get the Magic Band Plus that Jodie Benson wore in the little promotional video. It's the princess one, and I knew that's the one I had to have. So I got that, and the first thing that happened was that my phone battery started dying really quick. That I didn't like, but it was really cute, so I liked that.
Well, let's let people know exactly what is Magic Band Plus.
So it's a new Magic Band, interactive with the Fab 50 statues that are around the park. There's the Bounty Hunter game over in Galaxy's Edge. And if you have the Disney Play app, you get a little bit more out of it because it documents, there's like a quest. I don't have the Play app, but there's a lot of interactive things with it. It lights up, it vibrates to let you know that you're closer to the Fab 50 statues, things like that. The bands that have designs are about $45, and the basic bands with no designs are around $35. So they are pricier than the normal bands, but you can still purchase the normal bands. Disney's not saying that you have to have Magic Band Plus to get in the parks or anything like that. I've loved interacting with the statues, right?
What happens?
Like a crazy person.
Well, they light up, and there's the haptic so it like vibrates too at certain times.
Does the statue do anything?
So you got to wave at it like a crazy person for a while, and then eventually either music will play or the character will say like a little catchphrase. And I've been able to get most of them to work. Sometimes you got to like step back and pause for a second before you try again. There's something weird with the sensors on there. But what I've been noticing is that next to these statues, they have the loudest speakers for the ambiance music. So when you're waving at the character and they're saying something or playing a song, it's actually kind of hard to hear in some areas because they're blasting those speakers so loud that I wish they would lower those speakers a little bit. If there was a way to, when the statue gets activated, lower that speaker's volume so that we can hear the whole interaction. But so far, I've been having a lot of fun with it. I like that, you know, as you get closer to a statue, it'll vibrate, let you know that you're near one, so you can step aside and do that. But then also, I like that it lights up. I think it's cute. I use a Dash Pass, so I scanned into Frozen the other day, and it was, like, doing a whole little show for me on my wrist, and I thought that was cute. Do I think everyone needs it? No, unless you like to collect magic bands or if you're someone that wants to have that extra interaction while you're at the park.
Are
parks.
You doing this in conjunction with your phone out the whole time?
Yeah, it's Bluetooth. So,
my phone's dying just by talking about this.
Well,
that's been a problem for a lot of people because you have to Bluetooth. You have to pair it with Bluetooth to your phone.
You don't have to. Because I don't like having my Bluetooth on, but it says that it will enhance the experience if you have your Bluetooth on. And that's when I saw my phone starting to die really quickly. And that's why I turned off my Bluetooth. And I was like, I'm just going to use this at like the most bottom tier level possible. Because unfortunately at Disney, you don't have time for your phone to be dying. Because now your magic band can die. This happened to my wife. She's like, I want to go to Epcot and I want to use the new band and everything. And, you know, it was fully charged when I bought it. We didn't think to charge it before leaving because we hadn't used it. We thought it would still be fully charged. She waved at two characters and it was dead. So if you need to charge your phone and the band at the same time, because, you know, Genie Plus, Lightning Lanes, you have to use the app for almost everything, it will drain out that battery, which is why I didn't use the Bluetooth. I was like, I can't sacrifice my phone battery right now. Really can't.
Yeah, the guy when I bought it told me that they had to be above 60% charge to function with some of the special stuff that it does. So I'm assuming, like, I think the statues is one thing that has to be over 60% charge for that or something. I'm not going to lie. Like, I got one, and I'm working on a Patreon-specific video for that because it is a slow learning curve for me to even figure out how to do it. Actually, while I was sitting down figuring out, a Patreon member came up and sat and chatted with me and stuff like that. So that might have been part of my learning curve because I was having a conversation. But I basically figured out how to get it synced to my phone. So it's synced to my phone, and the color pattern, because I got the Black Panther one, is set to that. But I have no idea how to get it to do anything beyond that or what.
I also understood that as soon as you pair it to your phone, it needs to do an update.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
I didn't do the update and it still worked fine. But if you're worried about your band dying and it being able to let you into the park or to scan lightning lanes, that still works. You can use a lightning lane. You can still use it to scan in and all of that. You just can't do all of the other fun things if the band is dead or dying.
Okay, I was wondering about that, if that's going to mess with everything else.
Yeah, we got worried after my wife's band died. We're like, well, how are we going to get onto the Frozen ride? We have to scan to get on. And it still worked to scan and everything. And so that's good. But, yeah, there's a lot of learning that has to go into it. You have to update it. And to update it, it has to either be charging or over 60% charge to update the magic band.
They look cool. I watched Craig's video, but it sounds exhausting.
So when I went in to do it, because I had heard about the battery thing and stuff, I brought the fuel rods with me, and I just plugged in the charger for the magic band into my fuel rod, and that seemed to charge it all the way up. But I don't know if it got to 100%. Or if it was already 100% or anything, because I wasn't sure how to sync it at that point yet or not. So, yeah.
Be having issues with Corey's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Corey, yeah, we're going to do a live update on Corey's.
All right, here we go. Let me just talk.
You want me to just lip sync to you?
Okay. Do that.
Hey, everybody,
you can describe
it's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Just Corey, please.
All right, here we go. Can y'all hear me in chat?
Keep going.
Am I too low? Or am I too high?
Now you're good. Thank you.
All right.
Corey, I like how you match your, for our listening folks, this means nothing, but Corey is wearing a lovely shirt, the shade of Diz microphone blue.
Yeah, I planned it.
Matchy-matchy.
Isn't this more greenish?
I'm colorblind, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Yeah. It's coming up blue on the monitor, but
it's blue-ish.
It's more greenish blue.
It was the only thing I had that wasn't wrinkled. How about that?
There you go. There you go. So yeah, I'm hearing mixed things about these Magic Bands. And as you're sitting here and describing it, well, it sounds cool. All I keep thinking to myself is how much more complicated are they going to make the process of going into a theme park?
Okay. So since I've been quiet during all of this, now let me tell you the truth. It is completely...
Because Erica was lying to us.
No, it's... Listen, I also look at, like, butterflies flying sometimes, and I'm like, wow, that's really pretty. That's really nice.
Endangered
that's,
now.
That's cute. Yeah, they
and then
are.
Then he swats it's it sad. Down and steps on it.
Same thing with bees. You know, it's, wow, it's nature. It's beautiful. These are, right now, as it currently stands, Magic Band Plus is a complete gimmick. It is not, like, it is literally useful for three things, technically, if you really want to break it down. You can stand and watch fireworks with your wrist up in the air, or you can do like I did and just take it off and hold it up in front of you, and you look like a psychopath. but you have that as an option, and, you know, it's literally, it's Glow with the Show 2.0. That's all
that's
it is.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I saw your video.
It's completely irrelevant. Yeah, it was cool when you took the effort to do that, but it's just not practical. No one's doing it. The statues, I was waving like crazy in front of the statues at Hollywood Studios, and I got 2 out of 7 of them to work. And when they did work, one of them, I could barely hear the sound, but I opened up the app and I was able to double check on there and be like, okay, I did actually get them. So that worked. The other one, I was standing probably about 6 to 8 feet away recording a video where I just shook my wrist. For 1 second, I heard Edna Mode go off in the distance. And I'm like, I think I just set off a statue that I'm like decently far away from. And sure enough, opened up the app and I did set off Edna Mode.
So and it tells then, you in the app who what
yes,
statues you're in front
it
of?
Absolutely does okay. In the Play Disney Parks. The coolest thing that Magic Band Plus is for the Bounty Hunters game. But it is... The technology is just so problematic. You know, I know we keep going on with Bluetooth and such. Regardless of how you feel about all of it, it does not know how to track you very well. So, like, the whole point of the Bounty Hunters game is a game of red light, green light, hot and cold, whatever you want to call it. They give you, assign you a bounty you need to go find, and your band is supposed to either glow green if you're getting closer and light up and vibrate more intense if you're getting closer, and it does red if you're in the wrong location. And it kind of works. It doesn't work very well. It does not pick up on your location quick enough. So, like, for instance, I was walking all over Galaxy's Edge and could not figure it out because it was just staying the steady color green. And then I got to one area where I finally thought my bounty was. And at that point, it goes red and it will not stop on the red. So I just retrace my steps backwards. And I'm like, well, if it was telling me green all the way up until this point, clearly, eventually it will tell me I'm going the right direction. No, I had to walk basically back to where the start of the game was and then retrace my steps. And on a 95 degree day in Disney's Hollywood Studios, the last thing you want to do is be walking around in circles.
And this is what I meant by exhausting.
Yes. And ultimately, like in that situation, the door I thought I was supposed to be at, where it was telling me red, the actual door I was supposed to be at was only 20 feet away. So it could not pick up. It did not know exactly where I was in the park, or it didn't relay it to the band or my phone. It was not perfect. But ultimately, the game is you basically walk up to doors that have a panel and you scan the door once you know you're at the right panel. So there's only so many doors in Galaxy's Edge. So you start to figure it out. Everyone's standing in the same positions. I know as it becomes a novelty and wears on, you know, less people will play. So it'll be a little bit more inventive. But right now, it just doesn't really work. The technology could be very cool in the future if they come up with more games, if they come up with just...
And they will.
Neater
they
things. Will. And they will.
They'll iron all this stuff out.
But right hopefully. Now, it's just kind of a waste of money. And, I mean, you can at least save money if you have a resort reservation or, like, annual pass holders. You can order your Magic Band Plus and save $10. So it'll be $25 or or 35 and personalizations available and all that. But I mean, even at that, not good.
Okay.
I'm done.
Absolutely nothing about this sounds appealing to me. Nothing. I realize I'm crotchety and old, but it just sounds like it's one more complicated thing to have to deal with.
Or if
when you go into a theme park.
Or if you've run out of things to do at the theme park. Like, I've done everything, I'm bored, let me go do this.
Yeah, it's great for that. It's great if you're looking for something that you've never done before, but... Like, if you are aggressive, you could technically go to all four parks, unlock every statue, if they're working correctly, in a day. You can play 5 to 10 rounds of Bounty Hunters, and you can watch a nighttime show with your wrist up in front of you. And you can knock it all out in one day. So right now, there's just not enough with it. And there is potential for the future, but it's today. I don't think they should have rolled it out until they had more than the 3 uses for it, because after you are bored playing with all the games, then you just have another Magic Band that you paid more money for than the last version.
I was also surprised. I thought it was going to be a better quality band because it was so much more money. And when I opened it, I was kind of shocked. Like, I took it out. It's been a long time since I got a Magic Band. And the band itself is so thin that I was like, if I had bent this back a little bit, I probably would have snapped I would have broken the band piece off. So I don't know. I just kind of was like, oh, that's a bummer. I thought it was going to be like silicone, like the Apple Watch bands or something like that, like a little thicker material, and it's like paper thin.
No, I agree. It felt very plasticky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine fell off my wrist because, you know, it's like a million degrees outside, and I was sweating, and then the band just opened up while I was walking, and someone was nice enough to say, oh, the band fell, and I went and picked it up. But I think... it's not for everyone, right? It's not for everyone. I've heard a lot of people that are like, my kids love it. I give it to them. They're just waving at the statues like crazy, and it helps keep them occupied. For me, it's fun because I think it's cute. I think, you know, I think Disney will be building more onto it eventually, or I think that they should build more onto it to make it even more interactive. But I think it just depends on what your type of park experience is. For me, I don't mind taking a minute to wave at a statue and wait for it to work. Mm-hmm. I try to do all of them, and then I go hide in AC to cool off because, you know, it's a lot. But I think it depends on how you want your park experience to be.
Right.
So, like, if you're not someone that wants to take the extra time to stand there and see if it's going to work, or, you know, you want your phone battery to stay alive, like, it's just... different people will use it in different ways. And I liked it because I thought it was cute. I liked the pattern I got. Am I going to buy more like I collect the other Magic Bands? Probably not, because that's the only one I really wanted. But I think it's fun for the kids, right? I think Disney should fix the volume issue. But I think it depends on the park experience you want to have.
I can see it being fun for kids.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be fun for some kids, but also, like, I can stand behind a statue all day and, you know, do bad character impressions, and you can get the same exact enjoyment out of it. So it's all you need is a parent standing to the side and going like, oh, they're waving at Donald. Like, whatever. A kid's not going to know the difference one way or another. But one thing I saw in here was, again, the common saying about us is we're all speaking from the locals' perspective. I'm not sure what that really means in terms of Magic Band pluses. I don't see a difference between using it as a local versus on vacation.
If anything,
because
you'd be using it more.
I use it. Yeah, I think you would use it more on vacation, and you would run out of uses for it a lot faster than a local, because, like, on my day, I had to go home for hours in the middle of the day, and I still got so much done with the band in that one day. So this is one of those things. It's not a locals versus out of towners. This is everyone. The band just has limited use right now. It's pretty. The lights are all cute and it's nice. Especially what I saw from people watching Beacons of Magic with it. It's like, oh, that is pretty. It really does sync up, but that's it. It's a flashlight on your hand that you can't, like, control like a flashlight. Just blinky lights. It's like Buzz Lightyear's laser. On a laser.
Okay. Again, as a local, I don't know what that has to do with the price of eggs in China, but I just don't, I don't see any value in it. I really don't. I just don't see any value in it. But all right, let's talk about something else. Sad news. Over the weekend, Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, passed away of pneumonia at the age of 95. I had no idea the career she had. And through the 50s and 60s and the 70s, she was on a, you know, she was a comedian. She was on Sid Caesar's Caesar's Hour, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Please Don't Eat the Daisies, Love American Style, My Three Sons, Police Woman, Busting Loose, The Love Boat, Trapper John MD, Evening Shade, Designing Women, and ER. So that spans the 70s, the 80s, and into the 90s that she was working. She had a pretty prolific career.
From down the Cape of Massachusetts. I knew that.
What's that?
She's from, I believe she's from like Hyannis or something in Massachusetts down the Cape. So, because my friend and I always used to be like, we're going to go find Pat someday.
I actually had the pleasure of meeting her in a weird situation. They were signing when her Walt Disney Classic Collection Ursula came out, the statue,
mm-hmm.
and nobody was in the store to get her. It was just me, her, and the owner of the store. So it was kind of odd that I was, you know, fanboying over her, and she was so warm and made such a big deal about me. I mean, you know, it was cute. She was, I was 17. She was pushing my cheeks, and she says, "Oh, darling, oceans of love," is how she signs everything. And she said it a few times, and she was just endearing. I love her. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah, sad news. Sad news. Let's talk a little bit about D23. You have some thoughts. They released the schedule for this year's D23 Parks panel.
I thought it was the Parks panel when I was looking at it, but it looks like it's kind of more multiple panels and some,
Well, my number one question, does anybody think Bobby Paycheck is showing up for D23?
I think he will be there for at least the Legend ceremony, because I think that that is actually the CEO's responsibility to bestow the Disney Legends Award on to the recipients. I don't know that he'll be there for more than that, though. I can't imagine that he's going to be there for, like, the Marvel or the studio or stuff like that. I don't know.
That's all Iger was ever usually there for was Legends, and that was his big thing.
Yeah,
and
Alan Horn was there a lot.
Yeah, whoever's the head of the studios will do the... Well, they're changing up all the panels this year a little bit, and like Marvel and Lucasfilm are together, so I'm assuming someone from Lucasfilm and someone from Marvel will... head up both like of those
and Kevin.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know if Kathleen's going to be going out there. She might send Jon Favreau or someone out there for it, but then like Disney Plus, like television stuff, it's all going to be segmented, but I do think Bob Chapek will be there, but only for Legends. And I've shared my thoughts on this before too. I don't think the crowd's going to lose it on him during Legends, because you know, it's bad show. And then also, it's kind of weird to do that in a ceremony that mm-hmm. is all about, you know, lifting up these people who have been so important to Disney, Lucasfilm,
so,
Marvel.
He is so hated, though. He is so hated.
People have to.
They're still fans.
I know they're still fans, but they gotta pump the brakes, because that's if you are going to walk into a room like that and boo the CEO, that's when you're taking this all way too seriously.
Yeah.
Like start. Really making some personal decisions about is this now a cult versus a fandom, and really, really think about that in that way. And
are you going, Craig?
Yep.
You are?
Yep. No. So, looking forward to it. The panel I'm looking forward to the most, more than anything, is on Saturday there's going to be a 30 years of the Muppets Christmas Carol panel.
I saw that, and I was like, Craig's gonna be sleeping right outside of this door.
I will probably just cry through the entire thing, because you know, it's while I don't find you know, myself joining the cult of a lot of Disney, I will say that for Muppets Christmas Carol, I am the first and potentially potentially only cult member. So
you'll die on that felt hill.
He'll be holding that magic band up.
No, I will. If they tell me there will be something with Magic Band Plus there during that panel, it'll be right in front of me the entire time. I will be very much looking forward to it. Another one I'm really interested in, don't think I'll be able to attend it because of the timing, is there's one called Uncovering Treasures from the Marty Sklar Collection. And it's a bunch of memorabilia from Marty Sklar that while we were on our last ABD, we kind of got a peek at what they have in his collection. And this man was a complete hoarder when it came to anything that crossed his desk at Disney. He kept every single piece of paper, like anything that could have potentially been important. So I think they're going to probably showcase a lot of very, very unique, cool vintage Disney memorabilia that you didn't even realize was like out there and existed.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, that one could be very, very cool. And of course, just the Disney Parks Experience and Products panel in general that Josh D'Amaro will be hosting, where we'll get to see everything that is coming up in the future for Walt Disney World and Disneyland and all Disney products.
What's interesting about the wording in this, and then also the fact that it's called the Wonderful World of Dreams and stuff, is that I see an emphasis everywhere where it keeps saying around the world, and I feel like it's there, like, manage expectations, because we're going to be talking about, you know, what was the park that was getting the Zootopia and the Arendelle? Was that Shanghai?
Shanghai, yeah, is getting Zootopia. Paris is still under its expansion, while Avengers Campus still just opened. They still have more to go. You know, there's a lot of expansion happening throughout the other parks, but they talk about that every time they do the expo, and then everyone loses their mind over what's going to happen with the actual parks here. And you know, we have a lot of expectations. Like I feel like they have to announce. If they're not already going to announce when Tron's going to open up, it's going to be at Expo that they're going to have to announce that. But since there's a lot of people saying, like, oh, we think it's going to open sometime around October, I feel like you have to announce that before September 11th. That's got to come a little bit sooner. But beyond that, you know, Epcot's still in a state of disrepair. So we need the update on what's actually happening with that. And there's always going to be more surprises. Maybe a nighttime parade for Magic Kingdom finally. Probably never. But maybe.
Well, that's been the rumor, though, that a nighttime parade's coming back. I've heard that multiple sources have said that, right? Was I imagining things?
I don't know. Because there's also, my friend tried to tell me the other day that they, like, know somebody who works there, and I don't want to say their role of what they work at Disneyland, but they were like, Paint the Night apparently is set to return when Main Street Electrical Parade goes away. And I said, I doubt it. I doubt it would come back until after Christmas, if it comes back at all, because I was like, and also the wording of Main Street Electrical Parade going away also makes it sound like that would come back again. And my guess is that would probably just come right back. But I think it's just a money saving thing where it's like there's less performers involved in Main Street Electrical Parade.
There's a lot of performers. From what I understand with Paint the Night, it's that it requires extra performers because it's a very physically intense parade to put on. So there's a lot of injuries that happen. And that's why they go through and actually need more cast members for that parade, even though there's not, you know, necessarily a significant amount more performers. But yeah, I mean, it's with like the Christmas parade, once you get to that point, that runs twice a day at Disneyland. So it runs day and then into the evening. So you don't need then Main Street Electrical Parade happening too. That's too much parade for one day. So I think Main Street will go back after it's all done.
Doing the full parade this year.
The full Christmas parade?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's cavalcades.
Christmas Fantasy Parade? I didn't read the release that came out this morning.
Yeah, that's what I was... I mean, I'll talk about it when we get to that. I don't mean to cut you off.
But yeah, D23 Expo. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully.
Do you think any major announcements?
I think they're going to use it in terms... I think I think we're going to get some big stuff specifically related to Marvel. I know there was a lot of stuff that just came out recently at Comic-Con, but I think they've intentionally left a lot of stuff that's maybe a little bit closer to production that's going to be out, that there's going to be some big announcements in relation to that. My hope is that they're going to say they're still building the roller coaster in conjunction with it being like a big Marvel-related stuff. I don't know that they will. That's just me wishful thinking, but I think there'll be a lot of that. I think there'll be some minor Star Wars stuff, and I think there'll probably be some Disney Plus. Yeah. I think is still going to be the big like push again this year. But
with the parks, I feel like those have there's been years where you kind of have a general idea of what to expect. You know, there was a couple years in a row where WDW News Today was basically spoiling every single announcement before it could actually be made. And those years weren't as surprising, but I feel like there's always going to be a couple big things. Like I did not see last time around, I didn't see the Mary Poppins thing in the United Kingdom coming. Now we probably never will, because that seems completely dead and never coming back. But stuff like that, they're always going to throw out something that, you know, maybe some people know about the rumors with it, but that like people who aren't deep into what to expect from it won't see coming at all. Like we knew they were trying to build a Star Wars land for years and years and years and planning it, but I would have never thought as Rhino and I were wrapping up a movie panel that Bob Iger was going to come out on the stage and be like, "Hey, we're making Star Wars Galaxy's Edge," and you'll hear more about it in just a little bit. Like that kind of came out of
and he played that
left field.
Teaser.
So yeah. So, you know, I don't ever want to dig too far in. I know some cool things are going to be announced that we don't expect. And I like being surprised every now and then. Especially when it comes to this news, like it's more fun if you're not just like checking off a list of, yep, knew they were going to say that.
I like the curveballs.
Yeah. Because you get to be with everyone else in the moment, like, oh my gosh. That's the only time I get excited, ever.
How does it go? Do it again.
He does this thing where he grabs you. He grabs me whenever he gets really excited. He like squeezes.
Like inappropriately?
No, it's always my shoulder. He'll grab my shoulder and be like,
I did. He's talking specifically. I was not expecting, after we saw a movie recently, they were like at the point where the movie should have played. And then the trailer for Oppenheimer came on and I got so excited.
Me so hard. I was like, what? No, you did grab me into the 2015 panel. I think when I don't know if it was the Galaxy's Edge announcement or it was something, and you grabbed my leg really hard, and I was just like, ow!
You know what? Talk to HR about it. It's not my problem that I'm
And when The
you,
Rock
apparently.
Came out. He did get to touch The Rock, though, so that was good. That was
fun.
Yeah.
Twice,
up and down. Yeah. Not The Rock, when he came up the aisle and then went back down the aisle. It wasn't like a top part and a bottom part.
Whose Rock are we talking about?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh. When you say he grabbed your leg and got to touch the rock.
Up and down. Yeah.
Wow, I have no idea this goes on in my company.
Do we finally get something about the Imagination Pavilion?
My guess is that'll be included in the Epcot thing, because I think that's a big thing where they say they're giving – I don't know if they said it or somebody just was making that up, but I thought I saw it somewhere where they did specifically say they're going to talk about Epcot at the convention.
Okay.
I think I read that.
I hope they do something with Imagination, but at this point in time, I'm expecting the world to end before that ride ever changes ever again, because it feels unending.
I thought you meant that dome thing where they were building that.
That's
play
Wonders
area.
Of Life. Yeah, okay, that's well, the play pavilion.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Imagination's where your buddy Figment hangs out.
Yeah, that I just pretend doesn't exist. It's like a little, brownouts in the lights during the summertime up there. Yeah.
When we're in like a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome world. Imagination will still be standing there untouched, and they'll be like, that is where Figment lives. That is
that's where the
we
water
don't
flows.
Go there.
Yeah. Oh,
that's where the Kathy lives.
That is where the Kathy lives.
Ruler of the lands.
That is Kathy's favorite. Yeah.
As she evolves into Smeagol.
Precious. Just with a little dragon on her. And you know who'll be there too? Kathy. Not Kathy. Sorry. What's her daughter's name? My God.
I'm Katie. Having a break.
Katie. Yeah. I've seen her name. Sorry, Katie. I know you're watching. I'm so sorry. Told you. Lights out in the summertime. Anyway, it's very exciting.
One of those shows.
I love D23. I honestly think it is like the thing that re-energizes like me specifically to be like, I'm so excited about all these things. This is that you're there with the other weirdos, and like we're all just being weirdos together, and it's just like seeing everybody get excited in different ways. It's crazy who you meet there. Like, I met a girl that time where like Craig was face down drooling all over that pool float and I couldn't sleep, and the girl behind me and I started talking. She watches the show now, and she, like, we chat. She's about to have a baby any day now, and it's crazy that, like, here we are. Kurt, that's how I know Kurt from that. Jeremy, like, all these people that we've come to be friends with. Christian.
I've always looked forward to it because it was like Corey and I got to have collective breakdowns mentally, emotionally, and
especially usually running a booth over a whole different experience.
When we had a booth,
2019 was a lot better without a booth.
That was an amazing
having Sorcerer, so we didn't have to worry about where are we going to be sitting and all of that.
Did you get a Sorcerer's pass this year?
It's the new
thing. It's the Hall D23 pass. So basically they cut the price down significantly from 2,500 to like 900, and you still get, you know, better seating, premier seating right at the front. Don't have to wait for the big ones. So
yeah,
that's going to help out a lot on my mental stability.
Did you get those tickets, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got scared.
Mm-hmm. How fast did those sell out?
Immediately.
Fast.
We were literally sitting next to each other on like five computers, and we're like, and his was the only one that went through.
Wow.
Yeah, my friend was literally like texting me, and she's like, oh no, they sold out. Those ones sold out or whatever. So it's interesting, you know. Craig's good luck when it comes to that stuff.
I don't give away secrets.
Craig has his secrets.
I have secrets. I don't give them away.
All right.
Okay. That's how you end a conversation.
I'm stopped being interested in this.
Me too.
all right. What I am interested in, though, I think you're excited about this, too, is they've announced when the new bakery is opening at the Boardwalk.
Yeah.
I am, like, oddly excited about this. I don't know why.
Anytime new food, it's just exciting.
What was it replacing? ESPN?
So it's the Boardwalk Deli, which is going to be taking over
the
normal bakery. I'm excited because there are going to be two plant-based options, one for breakfast and one for lunch. But I love the Boardwalk. So anytime they do something different or new at the Boardwalk, I get excited because I love to just hang out at the Boardwalk all the time.
Maybe the staff will be nicer now.
Maybe.
Given the fact that it's the Boardwalk, what I'm hoping for is they go for authenticity and really create a true Northeast Jersey, New York deli. Is there any chance I'm going to get that?
I think so. A lot of people are excited and hoping for that. So some of the stuff they've released, like picture-wise, looks really good. They have... The breakfast looks fun. It's going to be like everything bagel sandwiches. They have a plant-based ciabatta sandwich. And then for lunch, it looks like they have a grilled cheese sandwich with tomato soup is one of the things they're highlighting. Also, this roasted chicken sandwich that's going to have cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomato, roasted garlic, aioli. Sounds fun.
Hungry.
And they also have a plant-based sandwich as well for the afternoon stuff. And they're going to have these really cute cannolis. I hope they keep the little Mickey chocolate artwork that's going on the outside of the cannolis. But they're also going to have New Jersey crumb cake, a New York style half moon cookie, cream puffs, a lot of fun things.
Can I share an unpopular opinion?
Yeah.
I have never liked cannolis.
I don't like them either. I mean, I'm not. You're Italian.
Oh, Panda's back there clutching pearls.
What is it that you don't like about them?
Too sweet.
I think that's hard.
I don't know.
So Wegmans, they sell it's a cup of cannoli chips. So the outside, and then you dip it in the cannoli mixture.
See, the inside.
Yeah. And that's incredible. But yeah, some, if they sit in the freezer or refrigerator too long, they break and they shatter. Yeah. But I don't know. I like the sweetness of them.
I've never been a fan of cannoli.
Wow.
Have you? You've had a good.
I've had the best cannolis, and I still don't like them.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. We got to work on that. And change that.
No, we don't. We don't.
One cannoli at a time.
Oh, God.
That's your contribution for the show?
Yeah, that's it. You know, hey, look, that's I'm why just now getting up? Into sweets. I want one.
Yeah, really. Yeah. This late in life, man. You're late now, to the party.
I'm ready.
Cannolis are one of the things that I really miss being able to eat. Now that I can't eat dairy, like, I miss that. I miss cannolis. They're so good. Ugh. I don't know how you don't
go on this medication. I'm on. I can't eat anything, so it doesn't matter.
What's your go-to dessert?
Mine?
Yeah. What's that other very Italian dessert? Tiramisu?
No. Never been a fan of tiramisu either.
Coffee on top always makes me cough. The dust you always get in your mouth.
No, I'm a cheesecake guy.
Mm.
I'm a cheesecake. Give me a good New York cheesecake.
The souffle at Palo.
Souffle at Palo. Well, that's a go-to dessert if I'm eating a Palo.
Right.
I'm talking, he's telling the warden what the last meal is.
Oh.
Cheesecake. Are we done talking about the deli?
We can be.
Okay. Damn. Because I'm hungry. I want a sandwich. But I have some things still to talk about, too.
Okay.
I got more. It's Disneyland related, though, so everyone buckle up. Craig alerted me when I got here. I just stole your saying, too, by accident. I'm sorry. Disneyland did just announce on the Disney Parks blog that their holiday stuff will be returning November 11th through January 8th. It's very exciting. I've only been there once for the holiday season, and it was wonderful. I loved it. But at California Adventure, they're going to have their big, giant, 50-foot-tall Christmas tree on Buena Vista Street, and the Cars Land area is going to have that overlay that it does, and that means you're going to get Luigi's Joy to the Whirl and Mater's Jingle Jamboree, as well as some nighttime stuff, which is World of Color, Season of Light is going to be back, and that is going to have
cool
holiday music. Have you seen that one?
No.
I don't think I actually saw that one when I was there. I think I was there that year when the
I'll be
it was
out there.
Broken.
I'll be out there the beginning of December for our ABD.
Oh, then you probably all see all this stuff. Yeah, that's awesome.
So.
Yeah. World of Color. Then they also are going to have the Festival of the Holiday booths, and those were really good. I remember eating at those. They're going to have the concerts in the Paradise Gardens Park, which are always pretty nice as well. And then you've got Mickey's Happy Holidays. That's a procession of Disney and Pixar characters that are going to be, dancing and marching along to upbeat rhythms of the holiday toy drummers. And then also there is what was a really cool and high energy experience. But when I looked back on my video, the floats are very scary. Is the Disney Viva Navidad Street Party that has Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, donning festive fiesta attire and accompanied by Mexican folklorico dancers and mariachis, Brazilian samba dancers and percussionists, and the giant Mojiganja puppets. Those are scary. They're just giant. They look like people, and they just whirl past you really quick. And it's like, it's the fastest I've ever seen a float move. So it was kind of intimidating. But Mirabelle's going to be out there meeting people as well in the Paradise Gardens Park. And you can find Santa Claus creeping around the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, just trying to give kids candy canes. I don't know about the candy canes part, but I just assume. And then at Disneyland Park, you've got your decor. You've got a 60-foot-tall tree over there because they got to show up DCA. Sleeping Beauty's Castle is going to have all that stuff on it, the shimmering icicles, twinkling lights, and then characters in holiday attire will meet at Town Square. And then there is a Christmas Fantasy Parade. I'm sorry, I missed that when I was reading this originally, but that is a daily musical procession of floats, marching toy soldiers, dancing gingerbread cookies, and more. And then at night, there's the Believe in Holiday Magic fireworks, as well as the snowfall they'll be doing and projections on Small World, which is really cool. And I love that Small World overlay that they're doing, the Small World holiday. That'll be there. Haunted Mansion holiday is going to be there. And then, of course, Downtown Disney and the hotels are going to have special stuff as well.
I'm excited.
But, yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be very cool. Yeah, like I said, I've only been once. It was great. It's all included in park admission.
Oh, it's all included.
Yeah, none of it's part of a party there. So,
cool.
I thought they had started doing holiday parties last year. I thought they did like 5, but this didn't say anything about that, and I could be completely wrong. So, so you'll get to see all that when you go out for the ABD. So that'll be cool.
I'm excited,
especially because they'll hopefully give you good reserve seating for some of that. Sometimes they're like, I have to be like, we got to move over here. That's the benefit of having one of us on the ABDs. Is nice. Yeah, being a know-it-all to the poor people.
It's a Diz exclusive, ABD Backstage Magic. We do those a couple times a year. Craig and Rhino just did one. Craig and Kylie.
I know. It's easy to confuse. Rhino is my wife.
Yeah.
Your wife?
Yeah.
So if you didn't see, Rhino and I announced our pregnancy on Instagram a couple weeks ago.
It's a pizza. It's a calzone.
So Craig and Kylie hosted one a few weeks ago, and Federico Argar from C Disney and I are hosting the one in December. So I'm excited.
I bet that one's going to be really cool, especially with like that holiday stuff. Like, so, you got to make sure you get the hookup with that candy cane. Everybody always tells me about the candy canes that people like line up to get
on
the
Main Street.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, they're massive.
Yeah, I didn't. They weren't doing them. I think I was only there for like 2 days, and they weren't doing them the 2 days I was there. But
the one the ABD we did in 2015, that one they gave us candy canes for because it was at Christmas. But that's not a guarantee. That was like, I think that was Dean working his magic because Dean knows how to get stuff done since he knows everyone. But yeah. Oh,
what other rapid fires do we have?
This one's DCL related. I'll keep it brief so this doesn't turn into a Disney Cruise Line show. But there's a new internet packages. There are new internet packages available on the Disney Fantasy. So instead of paying per data usage like you do on the classic ships, they changed it to be like the Wish, where you pay for your duration.
And they also did this on the Magic. I believe the Magic also has this.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
This plan. Now, I will say, there is a huge difference. There's a huge difference with their premium plan, which is basically, I forgot how much it was a day. It's a certain amount of money per day for the length of the cruise. And you're not going to be doing any live streaming with it, but it was a lot more stable and a lot faster than what I'm used to. Now, I wish it was on the Wonder.
Dream. And $89 for 1,000 megabytes, that just goes so fast. I was really hoping to pay for my duration.
Yeah, and so the duration ones, you have $20 per day for basic surf. So $140 for the cruise if it's a 7-night. And for premium, it is $30.
But let me say that basic surf, we couldn't even get email or
I couldn't get email.
Bank that account. It
was that might have been the Stay Connected, because Stay Connected is $10 per day. And I don't know why they had to come up with goofy names for it. Stay Connected says post text pictures on popular websites and apps like Facebook, Messenger, Twitter, Instagram. You don't get email until you get to basic surf. Then you can send and receive emails at the $20 level.
I just went to premium and was able to do everything I needed to do. And it was nice not to have to constantly log out, log back in.
Now, these are priced per device. It doesn't mean you can only use that device. It just means one person can be logged in at a time. So you can log out of the service and log back into another device if you have it.
And we used it on the Wish, and the cool part was you could kick yourself off your other devices. So, like, I would leave videos uploading in the stateroom on my computer while we weren't in there, and then as soon as I knew I needed something on my phone, I just kicked myself off the internet from my phone. Like, that's very convenient, rather than have to go all the way back to the room, log out of something.
It's certainly an improvement over what we've had.
This could be a whole show, a whole DCL show just on internet, because there are so many little tips and tricks that you can talk about, especially if you're paying per data. Turn off certain things, auto updates, all that stuff, because I saw that number just go down, like five minutes.
Yeah.
Always does. We got an update. 49% of the people who voted agreed with Pete that cheesecake is a good dessert, the best of the desserts. We did. 12% said cannoli, 18% said tiramisu, 20% said something else, a lot of like cookies, chocolate chip cookies
ice cream.
I gave them the right to vote.
Did you just call him girl?
I do. He hates it.
Okay, Ryan.
He does that all the time. He does it.
We're going to play that game. for the rest of this.
I didn't say girl.
I have a rapid fire that I can talk about. They released information on the food that was going to be available during the day at Magic Kingdom for the Halloween season, plus some of the food at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And there's honestly...
This is a dining show.
And now it is. No, right? Yeah. There's way too much to list, but the four things I really want are all conveniently in the same picture.
Is it the corn with the candy corn on it?
No. That's too weird. That's going to mess with my mind too much, so I can't do that. At Cosmic Ray Starlight Cafe, there's going to be a Bayou burger that's an all-beef patty, jalapeno pimento cheese, crispy andouille sausage, and garlic pickles. That's available both during the regular day and the party. The next two are only available during the Halloween party. That's a Hades hot dog, spicy beef and pork hot dog, Hades relish and pickles served with house-made violet mustard. So we had purple ketchup before in the past. Now we have purple mustard. Very exciting. Un poco loco tots, chorizo sausage, green onion, Hades cheese sauce. That sounds good. And then a spellbinding fried pie from Golden Oak Outpost, buffalo chicken, mozzarella, and blue cheese wrapped in a flaky dough topped with a candy eye and jalapeno ranch aioli. So it almost like... It almost kind of looks like bouc a little bit.
Oh, that's... I thought it was a pastry. I thought it was like a dessert.
It is a puff pastry, but with they meat. Can be savory.
Oh.
Rhino, I feel like we went over this with empanadas, hand pies.
Those aren't desserts.
They can be both desserts or savory.
An empanada. Oh, I just finished my meal. I'm going to cool down with an empanada.
I did, when I was in California, I got a delicious dessert empanada. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. Well, was it filled with sweet stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. That's different. I'm talking empanada with like ground beef in it. You're not Corey Martin ordering his steak for dessert on a cruise.
Actually, I was eating dessert this cruise. Julie was very proud.
How much escargot, though?
No.
Escargot for dessert?
No. I actually had escargot just for an appetizer, and I was more civilized.
You're responsible. Yeah. Where's Corey at?
Yeah, really. What have you, who are you? What have you done with Corey? No, never ate sweets. Never ate sweets. This is a new development later in life.
Well, it's a new development being alcohol free. My body wants some sugar.
Wants some carbs.
Yeah.
I need carbs. Mm-hmm. All right. What else do we have? Anybody else have a rapid fire they need to share?
I was just going to talk about the foodie guide real quick for Not So Scary. If anyone is like me, none of these are plant-based or like allergy-friendly. So when I do go, I'll have to look for what can be either modified or what will be allergy-friendly. Because from this, I'm not seeing anything, but it all looks really good. And I wish I could eat all of it, but I cannot. But it all looks really good. Those churros with the M&Ms on it, those look fun. But just wanted to let you guys know.
I wonder if we could reassign our tickets to go to a different night, because you will be the only one being able to go.
Erica will be here.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about me.
Corey will be here.
Well, I care about me.
I believe Kylie's taking your tickets, so you're stuck.
That's fine. She better be good to our pizza.
She better be good to our pizza.
It's our baby now.
Little baby pepperoni.
A little baby pepperoni. We call him Little Pepe for short.
Okay, I think this has run its course. That's going to do it, folks, for this week's episode of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, and please remember, stay out of the damn lakes.